I should be writing number 424. I think that's right. I recorded earlier today, and then my battery died, and I got angry that I had to go do, like, stuff. And now it's 10:30, and I'm recording, because I said I would. Hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing, your podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Myrrh. And I'm taking a walk. But no hurricane wind right now. Just, evening critters. And a very loud engine somewhere. So what I wanted to talk about before I was so rudely interrupted by my device dying is people's opinions. Now, I think, aside from your own talking yourself out of being a writer, this is the biggest thing that stops people from writing. Because either you're going to have a family member not believe in you and understand that, you know, okay, so your first story wasn't that great, but it'll get better. And what you need now is support and encouragement, not line edits. Or it's a workshop where you finally got your courage up to submit your writing for critique. And somebody hates it, or they don't get it. Or you can get further into your career, and there's the editors and agents who won't like it. And then you get further in your career, and you think you've made it because your editor likes it, your agent likes it. You've got a check that cleared, and then your readers don't like it. And then there are the reviews. Now, I don't read reviews. I do it for two reasons. One is a very mature reason, and I'm proud of it. Reviews aren't for me. Reviews are for the reader. Reviews are for one reader to tell other readers, hey, I read this book. I liked it. Here's why. Or, I didn't like it. Here's why. Maybe you should buy it if you like this kind of thing. Maybe you shouldn't like it if you don't like this kind of thing. They're not a letter back to the author. And frankly, even if they were letters back to the author, there's nothing the author can do. Now, because I hate absolutes, when I recorded this earlier, I was trying to think of who has gone back and edited a major piece of work. And I can only think of two. I'm sure there are more out there. But of course, Star Wars, and that was because George Lucas couldn't leave a thing alone. Not because he got a lot of press pushback from fans. Because they got a lot of pushback from fans for The Last Jedi, and they didn't do anything about that. But, the other thing was, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, which remains an important book for pubescent kids, and they decided to rewrite a little bit of it because, frankly, the technology surrounding dealing with a girl's period has changed in the past 70 years. And those are the only two things I could think of. I'm sure there's more. But on the whole, authors don't go back and fix things. Movie makers don't go back and fix things. And there's a variety of reasons why. Time and money are a huge, huge reason. And the other thing is, when you're writing for an agent or an editor or even your crit group, there's like fewer than 10 people that you're worrying about liking your stuff. But if you count every single one of your readers as a boss who has creative input into your work, then you're getting into the thousands. If you're Rowling or Meyer or King, you're getting into the millions. And when you've got millions of bosses, they're not all gonna agree. So how do you decide which bosses to listen to? The other reason I don't read reviews is personal and immature, but it's true, and that's negative reviews, even a little bit negative, upset me, make me question myself, make me question everything, and bring me down for the day. Ultimately, if not ruining my day, at least ruining my productivity for the day. And since the reviews aren't for me, and there's nothing I can do about them, even if I think they're right, it's just like wasted unhappiness. Not that I want to bank my unhappiness for a good time, but you know what I mean. It's like I'm sad about something that I did and I can't do anything about. So, I guess the moral of the story is you have to decide who to listen to. And that is something you will learn as you build your career as a writer. You will learn which ones in your critique group to listen to. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, there's a guy in your workshop whose character list of his book have, the character list has, here's a guy, and he does this for his job, and he's this years old, and this is his personality, and here's another guy, and he does this and this and this, and each guy gets like a paragraph, and then there's like three women listed, and it's, this is this guy's mother, this is this guy's wife, this is this guy's daughter, and that's it. If that person doesn't quite think your feminist retelling of a fairy tale is any good, I think it's safe to say his is not an opinion you need to worry about. Hypothetically. I'm speaking in general terms, but I wasn't wrong. I'm just telling you that. The other thing I wanted to talk about tonight was expectation. Now, I don't have enough hubris to think that I have a huge reach. I know I have a long-lived podcast, and I know I have many dedicated people who've been listening to me for years. I think that might be why I get this sense of, I talk about certain things a lot, and then I see people go out and do stupid stuff as if they've never heard my show. And I'm pretty sure there are millions and millions and billions of people who've not heard my show. But I heard this sad story, and I heard it secondhand, I haven't actually read the article, about somebody who got a huge six-figure advance, and instead of keeping the day job, or banking some of the money, or paying off some debt, or keeping in mind how much of that has to go to taxes, they moved to New York and lived high on the hog. And then the advances went down and down and down. And now they're like complaining of 35K advances. And all of my sci-fi friends are like, oh, you poor, poor thing. I've broken down the whole six-figure advance. And the way I see it is, if you get a $100,000 advance for a trilogy, or you work at McDonald's, over 4 years, you will make more money at your McDonald's job than you will from your book advances. There's math. It's on my site. I'll try to find the post and link to it. But people treat like this, the amazing six-figure advance as, you know, the brass ring, and once you get it, you're technically rich. But the way it breaks down, you're not. Because that money comes slowly over years. And remember that once you get the once you get that advance, you're not going to get any money for a while, because you've got to earn that advance back when the book starts selling. This is one good thing about low advances. I haven't had super high advances in my life, and the one good thing is, well, they earn out, and I get royalty checks, so that's kind of cool. But even if you get a huge windfall, you really shouldn't change anything about your lifestyle or your place of living unless you actually need to move. You just shouldn't. It's dangerous. I checked out productivity apps this weekend because I was complaining to you guys about not having anything to block my apps. And I'm really proud of you guys, nobody, for speaking up and saying, look, if there's something you can't stop playing with on your phone, just delete it, because I have tried that. And in a moment of weakness, I just re-downloaded it. So I got Freedom, which somebody suggested to me, and I paid for premium, but then I started playing with it and realizing that I couldn't get it to block the apps on my phone, even when I hit the button that said block apps. And I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong? And I finally had to search around on the web to find that in 2018, over a year ago, Apple made an update to iOS that said no apps could block other apps on iOS, which is fine. That's not Freedom's fault. I get that. But the thing is, there's still a button in Freedom that says block apps. And what they really mean is block the web. So if you don't want to use Google, or you don't want to play Pokemon Go in a certain time, well, Freedom can do that for you, no problem. But can it block me from playing Stardew Valley? No, it can't. And I resented the fact that I paid for premium, only to find out that that whole block apps option didn't really exist. But one thing that article did do is show me how to use Apple's screen time options, which I played with a little bit, and I think I'll probably get the hang of. So, oh, and somebody else on Twitter did suggest that if I'm doing my random number generator productivity thing and the things that actually need to get done don't come up when I roll the die, when I cross something out, like make my phone calls, don't renumber everything. Instead, write writing or podcast recording in that slot. So now there are two options to roll for podcasts or writing. And then if they don't come up, I'll do something else and cross that off and count that as writing or podcasting, which I really like that option. So I'm going to be trying that tomorrow, I think. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with me. Thank you for the support on Patreon, which is patreon.com/mightymur, mightymur@gmail, and mightymur on Twitter. I've been bad with Instagram, but my plan is, and it's a thing on my to-do list tomorrow, perhaps I'll roll for it, is I have to clean my office, which will make my office a more palatable place to work, which will make setting up the Instagram pictures a little easier to do my podcast of the day and my writing of the day. And another little message that nobody's gotten yet, but I'm continuing to try. And that's Mightymur 2 with the numeral. So, hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're writing. Hope you're planning on writing if you're not writing. And tomorrow's another day. If you didn't write today, you can do it tomorrow. Because you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymur. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.
is on TV tonight. But I